Hello and welcome to The Discourse, a short-form, one-on-one interview podcast with filmmakers, actors, and other film industry folks, brought to you by The Playlist and hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo. Today, I get my hands dirty talking about the upcoming film Blood for Dust with one of its stars, Mr. Kit Harington. The movie follows a struggling salesman with a troubled criminal past who's pulled back into a string of crimes by a dirty former colleague, leading to a trail of blood and dust. Yes, I had to do it. The film is written and directed by Rod Blackhurst, who directed Amanda Knox. He also wrote Night Swim, and also stars Scoot McNairy, Josh Lucas, Nora Zeitner, Ethan Suplee, Stephen Dorff, and more. Like I said, joining me to discuss this one is Kit Harington, who you know as Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. You might know him as Dane Whitman from Marvel's Eternals or The Black Knight, if you went that far into the, you know, the character. He was also in Scott Z. Burns' recent Apple series, Extrapolations. That was a good one. He's in the upcoming Industry Season 3 for HBO. You know who he is. But as far as Blood for Dust goes, if you're a fan of gritty, small-time crime thrillers, I think you'll find a lot to enjoy in this one, especially Kit's performance as Ricky, who is just the best kind of dirtbag in the film. It's also got Scoot McNairy as the lead. Like I said, Scoot, he was in Halt and Catch Fire, a personal favorite series of mine. So I always love to see more Scoot, and he's great in this as always. There's also a lot of good small roles that get to have some fun here. Of course, Josh Lucas, Ethan Suplee, Stephen Dorff, they're all great. We talk about that film, Blood for Dust, and of course his Jon Snow role, the spinoff, which I'm sorry to say is dead now. We also discuss Eternals, The Black Knight, you know, the character he played for Marvel. Will we see more? Who knows? We talk about him almost playing King Arthur when Game of Thrones was getting started. We talk about the horror movie he's potentially doing with Sophie Turner, also a Game of Thrones alum. Before I shoot you over to our chat, I've got to tell you that The Discourse is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, Bingeworthy, Deep Focus, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite shows. Be sure to subscribe and drop us a comment or a rating, as we do very much appreciate it. Or just head on over to theplaylist.net for film and TV news, interviews, reviews, and more. Okay, for our listeners, Blood for Dust hits theaters on April 19th. Here is my interview with the wonderful and kind Kit Harington. Kit, how the heck are you, man?
I'm good. I'm good, thanks, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing so good. Wonderful to speak with you. I watched Blood for Dust this week. Very much enjoyed it. I love a good gritty crime drama, so this definitely scratches that itch. Congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
Definitely want to get into that, obviously, but I always like to start up top, you know, since this is the Playlist and I'm absolutely, you know, a filmaholic and our audience is that kind of audience as well. So I like to open up conversations, just kind of getting loose with a playlist of like 3 to 5 films or shows that you recommend. It can be like, you know, ones that cracked you open when you were a kid or ones that you saw recently and you're like, this is the jam right now. Anything pop up?
I recently watched all of Michael Mann's films again.
Ooh, I just interviewed him recently.
Yeah, and I just was struck. It was always a favorite of mine, but I was struck by how perfect the film Heat is.
It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah, just structurally, acting-wise, writing-wise, I was sort of re-blown away by it. So if you haven't seen Michael Mann's films or you need something good to watch, go watch Heat, Collateral, Inside Man, you know, all of those. What am I watching on TV? I started watching Three Body Problem, which I'm nice. Very much enjoying.
Good show.
Yeah, really good. And like sufficiently weird enough that I'm really enjoying. I like really tonally odd, like experimental stuff. And it is definitely that.
It changes every like few episodes. You're like, oh, this is a different show now. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I obviously love David and Dan, and they do write so well. So that's sort of TV. Don't know. I mean, that's on the top of my head.
Those are great suggestions.
The things I've been watching. Yeah.
Dynamite. Let's talk Blood for Dust. A lot of people, if they read the character breakdowns for this, like there's Cliff, the good man with, you know, a troubled past that's very earnest. He's trying to do right by his family and just kind of do anything he can to earn money for his family. And then there's Ricky, you know, his old pal, former colleague from a darker past who draws him back into like a seedy lifestyle. Many would assume like, oh, Kit would be great for Cliff, but they probably wouldn't peg you as a Ricky. Was that the draw to like coming in and being like, oh, I want to be this seedy dude?
Yeah, absolutely it was. I felt like, maybe I haven't really, but I felt like I'd played Cliffs before, the kind of classic kind of more protagonist role in that type of movie. And I actually think that Cliff in many ways in the movie is far more dirty and has far more sin than a classic protagonist, but or a classic sort of kind of hero in the piece in like this. But for me, yeah, it was a chance to play the antagonistic right hand man, which I don't generally get offered. And Rod came to me and said, I think you'd be great at this, and acting is all about sort of taking risks. And that was when I was like, I think I can do this. I don't know. Maybe if I grow a massive mustache.
Handlebar mustache. Yeah.
Yeah. And like pretend to be American. Maybe I can. And for me, it was just a kind of really juicy role. And one where I got to work opposite an actor I massively respect. So I knew I'd be in safe hands. Yeah.
I love Scoot. Yeah, Scoot's so good.
Yeah, he is. He is. And he's so sort of, he's so cool, you know, for want of a better word. He's very cool about does and his acting. And we were very close on this, but we come at our kind of character development from quite different places, I think.
Interesting. Was Ricky always like on the page, this like mustachioed good old boy with a Southern accent, or did you kind of develop that with Rod?
I think he was always a good old boy.
Yeah.
You know, that was that from day dot, you know, Rod was like, I see him as having this really like strong accent kind of. And we landed on a sort of what I hope is a kind of Missouri type, you know, Midwest type accent or Southern Midwest. Like the backstory we kind of created for him, because I felt I needed it, ended up sort of influencing one of the speeches at the end where he talks about this kind of neglect that he had as a kid. And I think really he was raised in front of the TV. So he was raised by these guys who had these big mustaches, whether they were cops or they were bad guys. Like that's his viewpoint of the world. That's how, that was his father and mother, was the TV and these guys on TV. And that's how he's made up what the world is and what it's about and what you have to get from it. And that helped me come to him from a place of real empathy.
Yeah.
But of course, like that's means that he's going to be this guy. And actually it's all show, the mustache, the guns, the whole thing is just show. And he just, it's a whole game for him. It's play. It's like, and he doesn't want Cliff to ruin it. He doesn't want him to leave. Like we're having a good time. That's
so he's literally living in a crime drama while you're in a crime drama. He's kind of living it.
That's, I think, nuts. He does right to the end of the movie. You know, he believes it to the end. He is a live fast, die young type guy, but he never really had a choice in that. Like the way he was raised, he was never gonna go straight. You know, it wasn't an option for him.
So when you're putting this together with Rod, I know some directors like to be like, okay, I want to go for these kind of tones, so they'll send you some like films to check out. Did you guys ever do anything like that?
Not especially. You know, when I read it, I sort of said to him, this is sort of hell or high water, right? You know, it's like tonally and like kind of, yes, but it's, you know, it's going to be this and that. And he just had a very clear plan for it. And sort of said, look, I don't want to rush this. I want it to feel heavy and let it breathe. And I want to stay on shots longer than we need. And then the really wonderful thing about it was, I think this was one of those happy mistakes, it ended up being shot in Montana in the snow, which brought its own kind of coldness and heaviness to it and has its own character to in the movie, I think. But no, like, I don't remember him pointing reference points out to me. Yeah. I think he just said, this is what it is. You know, you kind of, it's a classic neo-Western noir thriller with all of those elements, but we're just going to tell it really well. We're going to try and tell it really well. And I believed him, and I think he's done that.
Yeah. And also, like, it is a very serious movie, like you're describing, but also there are actors like you with parts like yourself and Josh Lucas in this, who really get to like chew the scenery and have a lot of fun with the parts, yes. You know? Yeah. So it seems like those are just fun, you know, to jump into.
Yeah, they were fun. It was fun. Like, every element of like playing Ricky was just was enjoyable. Like, yeah. You kind of, from getting out there and choosing his costume to like, a lot of it was kind of felt about appearance, and I felt my way into him. He had these kind of like big heeled shoes on, because he's the guy, kind of guy who wears big heels on him to give him some lift. Sure. So it was fun. It felt like, in a weird sort of way, it felt like going back to drama school and like going into the costume box and being like, right, what character should I create?
That's awesome. All right. Any interview with you would ultimately have to mention Jon Snow at some point, or Mr. Targaryen, if you're nasty, which should obviously be the title of the sequel series. My editor has, you know, he talks to people in the industry. He broke my heart last week, I think it was, when he said he doesn't think that Jon Snow, the sequel series, is going forward. Is that true, or is that misinformation?
Right now, it's not, no. And it's, you know, it's one of the reasons I didn't or haven't really spoken about it, is that it was in development, and, you know, we kind of wanted the space to develop it or see if it was worth doing. Mm-hmm. HBO kind of came to me a number of years back about whether I wanted to do it. And I sort of said, yeah, let's give it a go. And then we all tried, and we couldn't find something that we thought was worth doing. And the last thing we want to do is make something bad. You know, we don't want to do it unless it's worth it. You've seen Jon Snow for that many years. Let's not ruin the character. So at the moment, it's not happening. But it's not to say it won't happen at some point. You know, there's always the option to, if it feels like we can land on the right idea. But at the moment, nothing's being developed.
That's fair. When the original series ended, you basically kind of said, like, yeah, I think we're done with the character. And then, you know, obviously years later, you were like, okay, well, let's explore coming back. So what was the impetus to like opening up? Was it just like, I miss the guy, I miss the people, or what was it?
No, I think, you know, I don't want to go into it too much in some ways, but I think that for me, there was the possibility that there was something left to say, that there was, you know, that when the war ends, you're still left with the soldier. And that,
at the
that
wall. Kind
of, there was something in that that I thought was interesting, but that's all I'll say on it, really. You know,
that's fair. I believe like back in the, like when it ended, you said you had a really difficult time when the show ended, and that the reception to the last season was especially difficult. And I remember even watching like the table read that they released, where you're like reading it for the first time and you're seeing all the emotions like unfiltered go through you. So it looked like you were even having a hard time processing it because you were reading it for the first time.
I think it wasn't the reaction to the show's ending, and it wasn't the ending itself that was tough about that time. It was finishing 8-9 years of a seminal
it's your life
story in one's life that kind of culminated in, I think, a lot of us kind of like having a collapse towards the end. And I think, you know, when some people talk about how the show could have gone on for another season, none of us had this. We were spent, man. We were done. Like, it couldn't have. Like, so it had to end when it ended. And I think, yeah, I just think it, no one, I don't expect anyone who goes through a story, like a journey like that with everything it entailed, to not have some residual difficulties afterwards.
Absolutely. It's understandable. And I mean, everybody loves Jon Snow. So hopefully the door's not completely closed if an idea comes up. But, you know, it's he's left at the wall where he's meant to be, I suppose.
Yeah. And it'll be called Mr. Targaryen if you're nasty.
Exactly. I would love to see. And then obviously you have a character that's been introduced in the Marvel Universe. I just rewatched Eternals the other day to kind of remember where they left you. And he's in kind of limbo right now, like the Dane Whitman, the Black Knight. Marvel's been teasing so many characters in their films and series. Like, if you laid out all the characters, and I'm not just saying this because I'm interviewing you, Black Knight is one of those characters where I'm like, I want to see that guy. Like, he pops in the Eternals, and also the fantasy element, the demons that he has, could make for a really, really interesting and different movie.
I totally agree. I have always been intrigued by that character. It's one of the main reasons I came in, you know, came into the Eternals. The character, you know, for anyone who knows the Black Knight, his descent, because of his superpower, is a brilliant allegory about kind of addiction and things. And I think it's a really cool character and a really cool story that they haven't mined yet. But I don't know whether they will. Like, honestly, I've heard nothing about any sort of plans, and I know they would always keep their plans close to their chest, but at the moment, again, on that front, nothing going on.
Yeah, I heard Eternals 2 got kind of shelved for now, but I hope that the Black Knight kind of has his own day at some point, whether it's a film project or whatever. Would you prefer like a series, or would you like to kind of do like a big action epic film?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't know until I got shown what the plan was, if there was a plan.
Yeah.
So I you know, I think it's kind of it's a sort of strange, murky area now, TV and film. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But both could be the right thing or the wrong thing. But I think that the story is there, the character is there, and the story is there to do something really interesting with.
Yeah. And I think he might kind of blend really interestingly with some of the characters. Like, were you watching the MCU before you joined in? And did you have any favorite characters where you're like, I'd love to cross paths with that guy?
It ran in tandem with Game of Thrones. So it was sort of felt like we were on, you know, kind of over those 10 years, it felt like we were sort of in this version of TV that they were in the version of film. And so we crossed paths with a lot of the actors. No, I don't. I wouldn't say there was a kind of one particular character that I would hope I crossed paths with. It'd be quite nice to kind of, if it ever happened, it to be something entirely new, I think.
Mm.
But I don't know. I at the moment, I don't think there's any plans.
I hope they get their heads out of their asses and they green light a Black Knight movie. This is one of those kind of what might have been questions. I know at one point we were really, really close to doing King Arthur for David Dobkin. Yeah. Like, he had Gary Oldman for Merlin and Marion Cotillard, and Morgan Freeman was circling it and Christian Bale was circling it. Like, it was greenlit and Warner Brothers killed it. So what was your experience there? Were you like prepping and would you consider like going back to Arthur, or is that kind of a bridge that has burned at this point?
God, that's a bridge so far away. I don't know. It'd have to be pretty special to go to something like Arthur, because that's medieval world. And I'm so done with medieval world.
That's true.
I think it was probably a blessing that it never happened. At the time, I remember it got, you know, it's me and Joel Kinnaman were playing Arthur and Lancelot, and it was all set to go, like you say, and then it got pulled for various reasons. And it was a really good idea. And I remember thinking, it was crushing at the time, I think. But then Thrones kind of took off. And I forgot,
so it was right at the beginning there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, it sort of drifted into the background of this massive juggernaut that was Thrones. And actually, can you imagine if I did do it and I was spending 6 months doing Jon Snow and then 6 months playing Arthur?
You might have gone crazy a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a real blessing, actually.
Yeah. As far as what you have coming up, I saw that you and Sophie Turner might be getting back together for The Dreadful. Is this a horror movie that you have coming up? Is that still happening?
The plan is, yes. As always with everything, like, we're hoping it all comes together at the right time and has the right wind behind it. But yeah, me and Sophie are hopefully going to film that later this year. Nice. It's a really cool movie. It's a really awesome little kind of strange horror thriller type piece that's very unique. And, you know, Sophie was already attached and sent it to me and said, would you be interested in this? And I sort of jumped at it. I was like, yeah, work with you and on a cool movie. Yeah, absolutely. But we'll see. Like, it's an independent movie, so there's a few hoops to jump through.
As there always is. What else do you have coming up next? What's the next project in the hopper?
I'm doing a play this summer, so that's going to take up my summer. I'm doing a play in London. I'm going back on stage, which would be great. And then Industry is coming out, the TV show, yeah, which is I'm really HBO. Excited about. Yeah. So I'm in that, and then we'll see for later in the year. Kind of, it could be a few things.
Nice. Well, fingers crossed on a horror project. I love horror movies, so I just can't get enough of that stuff. So
yeah.
If I hear you and Sophie are going to do a horror movie together, and it's like a cabin in the woods type thing. Oh man, that sounds great. All right. Well, I have taken up your time, but I will just say for our listeners, Blood for Dust will be released in theaters and digital outlets on April 19th. Kit is so excellent as this very dirtbaggy Ricky dude. You'll see by the handlebar mustache. It's so worth your time and attention, and Kit is great in it. Thank you so much for your time, Kit.
Thanks, Mike.
I really appreciate it.